Duck Hunt cartridge, and the NES Zapper, a light gun used to shoot down digital ducks. While my father plugged it into the TV, I read the manual from cover to cover. This is what it told me. One day, the kingdom of the peaceful mushroom people was invaded by the Koopa, a tribe of turtles famous for their black magic. The quiet, peace-loving mushroom people were turning into mere stones, bricks, and even field horsehair plants, and the mushroom kingdom fell into ruin. The only one who can undo the magic spell on the mushroom people and return them to their normal selves is the Princess Toadstool, the daughter of the Mushroom King. Unfortunately, she is presently in the hands of the great Koopa Turtle King. Mario, the hero of the story, maybe hears about the Mushroom People's plight and sets out on a quest to free the Mushroom Princess from the evil Koopa and restore the fallen kingdom of the Mushroom People. You are Mario. It's up to you to save the Mushroom People from the black magic of the Koopa. It was nonsense, but my 8-year-old brain latched onto it like a bloober, a squid the game warned me was a guy to look out for. I was Mario. The manual said so. It was up to me to save the mushroom people. This was my story. Except it wasn't. This real, playable version of Super Mario Brothers was nothing like the game I'd been playing in my head for months. Instead of punching turtles and flying through the air, I mostly fell down holes and got mauled by Goombas, sentient shiitake mushrooms that have sprouted feet and fangs. My excitement turned to frustration as each death brought me closer to tears. This wasn't a game. Games were meant to be fun. That was the angriest Christmas of my life. The longer I played, the sloppier I got. My deaths piled up, my blood boiled. All that pressure needed a release, and jumping on evil turtles wasn't doing the trick. I screamed and cried and swore off video games forever, which never lasts long when you're 8 years old. Little by little, I progressed through the game, until late that evening, I stood on a bridge across from my enemy, Bowser, King of the Koopa, a fire-breathing, spike-backed dragon turtle. My fingers jerked wildly across the controller. On the screen, Mario leapt over fireballs, then sprinted beneath Bowser's legs to grab an axe someone had carelessly left on the far side of the bridge. With one smooth motion, so smooth you didn't even see it, Mario brought the axe down, severing the bridge's cables. It fell into fire, and Bowser followed. The king was dead. Long live me. "Mom! Dad!" I shouted. "Come here! Bring the camera!" I had accomplished the impossible and needed proof. No one in the history of video games could have beaten Super Mario Brothers in a single day. Was I the greatest video game player alive? Yes. Yes, I was. On screen, Mario ran ahead to the next room, where Princess Toadstool was waiting to be rescued. When I saw her, my heart stopped. This was not the princess I'd been expecting. She was short, shorter than Mario. On her head sat an oversized helmet covered in red and white polka dots. Strangest of all, she appeared to be wearing a diaper. 10 words appeared above her head. "Thank you, Mario, but our princess is in another castle." The game wasn't over. There were 28 more levels to go. Our princess had not been saved. Mario, that mustachioed shitweasel, had lied to me. This wasn't my story at all. 23 years later, I was in Santa Monica, directing voice recordings for Spec Ops The Line, the 10th installment in the long-running military game franchise. It was May, or maybe it was April. I could be wrong. For all I know, it was August. The year was definitely 2011, that much I'm sure of, but...